Welcome to the WireX Weekly Crypto Podcast, where we dive into engaging conversation with experts, thought leaders, and innovators, and I'm your host, Liana. I'm happy to introduce our guest for today's podcast episode, Narek Gevorkyan, CEO at CoinStats. Welcome, Narek.
Hi, Liana. Great to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about shitcoins, what they are, why people invest in them, and what makes them appealing to some investors. But before that, Narek, could you tell us about your professional background a bit more?
Sure. I'm Narek, founder of CoinStats, which is the biggest portfolio tracker in crypto right now. We support hundreds of blockchains and the most popular centralized exchanges, and our users connect their platforms and manage all their crypto holdings from one place, seeing their portfolio performance, profit loss, and much more. And yeah, as you can imagine, we have a lot of users buying and selling shitcoins as well.
Yeah, so can you provide a clear definition on what constitutes a shitcoin?
Obviously, there is no specific clear definition on what's shitcoin and what's not. I would say we can call a shitcoin a cryptocurrency which has a very weak fundamentals and very bad tokenomic design, which are made potentially to just get investors and the early team rich on dumping their holdings to later investors down the line.
Right. And what are some common characteristics or traits that distinguish shitcoins from the more established cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum?
I can make a few examples on, like, maybe teams are not transparent enough about the token and the economy behind it. And one red flag, for example, I've seen recently is team being too salesy and talking too much about the price of the coin rather than the product it's built on, etc. And one other example could be the cryptocurrency not having a clear utility or a product behind it. But there are a few buts here, which we might cover on the next questions. For example, there is a type of shitcoins, which we call meme coins, which obviously don't have a proper token economy, don't have a proper product behind it, but still some of them are doing good in price, and some of them are going up in price. And some of them I would consider even myself a good investment. And in fact, in some sense, Bitcoin could be considered as a meme coin as well, because it doesn't have a clear utility behind it, or utility that's being used currently. But still, the price is going up because there's a community behind it. There are people who think it's going to go higher and higher.
Wow. Like, at least I know what shitcoin is. Thank you for that. Are there any cultural or societal factors that contribute to the popularity of shitcoins within certain communities?
I think you might be referring to meme coins, as I mentioned in the previous questions. So I would say the meme coins are the only shitcoins who have a proper community. And that's why the prices of some of the meme coins are going high in value. And I'm not sure about the culture and factors that contributes to that, but I'll bring a few examples which could be interesting for our audience. I'm not sure if you have heard about the meme coin called BOM, a book of meme. So basically, it was some anonymous on Twitter who ran a pre-sale on Solana network and asked his community, which was pretty small at the start, but obviously got huge over the next couple of days, to just send Solana to his address for the coin pre-sale. People had zero transparency if they're going to get their tokens for the pre-sale, etc. They just sent their Solana to the address of that guy, who was obviously an anon. And basically, the guy launched the token, obviously gave all the people their tokens, and it did, I think, around 200x from the price. the guy raised like 10 million or something like that. He could have just run away with that money, but he the reason he didn't run away, but really launched the token by giving also the people who bought the pre-sale their tokens, contributed to the fact that the book of meme cryptocurrency, the meme coin, went up in price in 200 times. Basically, a certain shit coins or specific type of them, meme coins, kind of represents the history of cryptocurrency market or the value behind what happened in a certain scenario or something like surprising to market, and people continue to buy it for the community and the price goes higher and higher. Again, if you just sent, I think, one Solana to the guy on pre-sale, you could have made a few hundred Solana on the top of the price of BOM. And obviously the price didn't fell too far. It's has some value even now. And then another example of a pre-sale. Yeah, sorry. I'd like to talk about the Slurf coin as well. That's fine.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, Slurf was even a funnier example. So there was another guy who launched a pre-sale, raised 10 million on pre-sale, completely anonymous. People just trusted out of the air that they're going to have some token. And the guy who was supposed to mint the tokens and send to the pre-sale participants, from what he says, he accidentally burned those tokens. Meaning the people who bought a pre-sale didn't get anything. So you would imagine that, hey, I mean, yeah, money lost, etc. Even he launched the token, who's going to buy? He launched the token and it's currently sitting at a few hundred million market now. So I would say maybe a certain culture factor which contributes to the meme coins is just set of people having fun.
So I mean, would you say that it's almost like a timestamp? You know, some of these shitcoins, just out of curiosity.
What do you mean? Sorry.
No, so because you were saying something about like it represented a certain culture, right? And I was just wondering if some shitcoins could be considered like a timestamp of culture.
Yeah, potentially. And the shitcoins potentially still have a value and will have a value in the future just because representing a timestamp of financial history of humanity. I mean, you don't see something like that every day when people send over $10 million to some anonymous account on Twitter, which was not even famous before that. So that's kind of shows how a certain cultural factors affect on how people relate to the trust, for example, like who you can trust and who you can't. So yes. But again, those only refers to the meme coins. There are a lot of types of shit coins which are much worse. Specifically, the shit coins which try to represent that they have a product behind it, that it they have a good economy behind it, etc. Those kind of cases get much more complicated. Meme coins are fun and a lot of people like them and they have a certain cultural interest behind them. But the rest types of the shit coins are just potentially a group of people trying to get rich as possible.
So, I mean, can you discuss the level of risk associated with investing in shit coins compared to other cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, one obvious thing, they're being more volatile. The price changes so rapidly. Obviously, you have to be watching the market every hour or every day. And one other thing which potentially falls into long-term investment category most of the shit coins are potentially going to be zero at the end of the day, which is not the case for more legit projects, which are highly unlikely to be just zero. Yeah, they can go a bit lower in price and lose 50% of your investments, etc. But if you are buying a shitcoin which does not have strong token economy behind it, highly likely in the longer term they'll be just zero. So yeah, if you bought one, watch the market and try to exit as soon as you've made your profits.
Wow, that's a lot to consider. In what ways do the branding and marketing strategies of shitcoins impact investor perceptions and behaviors?
One thing the shitcoin teams use to gain trust of the investors is using KOLs, meaning influencers on Twitter and YouTube, who are most of the time invested themselves at a better price. And a lot of, I'm not saying all of the crypto influencers do that, but significant part of them are making their breads daily by shilling the shit coins or buying the certain coin and then talking about that coin to their audience. So I would recommend anyone to do their own research before putting their money into any cryptocurrency.
And are there any red flags or warning signs that investors should watch out for when evaluating potential shitcoin investments?
Sure. It's tough to mention exact red flags and warning signs because, again, as I told, some of the red flags, some of the coins, as I mentioned, like even like Book of Meme had all of the red flags you could think of. It was anonymous guy on Twitter raising a pre-sale. But at end of the day, if you trusted him, you would have made a few hundred X on your investment. But one thing I've noticed, which is a really red flag and works 100% of the time, is that when you feel the team of the coin is too salesy, meaning they are trying to sell their token to the audience as much as possible, and talking much less about the product and token utility behind it.
And can you explain the concept of pump and dump schemes and how they often relate to shitcoin projects?
Sure. Certain group of people can pump and dump a certain cryptocurrency. Most of the time, they do that on thicker cryptocurrencies, so-called shitcoins. What they do, the scheme in a simple word is the following. Let's say the cryptocurrency price is a dollar right now. They buy a lot of that cryptocurrency at the current price of a dollar, and obviously they need to pump the price to exit with a profit. They can artificially pump the price, let's say, to $5, but still they can't exit their holdings right now when it's $5 because there is not enough buy pressure. The coin was just a dollar a week ago. There is not enough people who would buy it at $5, so they could exit their big holdings or big bags. A lot of times they do, they artificially also dump the price to, let's say, somewhere in between, like at $3. And by that creates a buy pressure because people are like, hey, it was just $5 a week ago. And $3 seem to be a good price, so let's buy it. It will get to $5. And that's when the big bag holders exit their holdings from $3 to $4. Obviously, those numbers are just random numbers, they can be anything, but that's most of the time that's how pump and dump schemes are working. And obviously there are much more complicated ways of doing that. Timeline can be multiple hours, from multiple days to multiple months. We are seeing a lot of pump and dumps which last only 30 minutes, 1 hour. There are hundreds of meme coins launching on different blockchains like Solana or Base right now. And they're also pumping, most of them are also pump and dump, and they last, I don't know, up to an hour, and then they go to zero. And yeah, all the pump and dump schemes are different, but they were combined by one factor. A certain group of people try to artificially pump the coin price and making the rest of the market think it will continue to pump higher and higher so they can sell.
Wow, so you've really got to pay attention when you want to invest in shitcoins. Are there any parallels between the psychology of gambling and investing in cryptocurrencies?
Well, a lot of times the excitement of getting quick returns between investments can blur the lines between investing and gambling. It is important to understand what kind of a crypto trader you are and have an exact plan on how you're gonna approach your crypto investments to be able to put psychological factors on the side, because which is hard. And when you are investing with your feelings, that's more of a becoming gambling rather than investing. So if you're buying a certain cryptocurrency, I would recommend anyone to have an exact plan on exactly what prices you're going to exit and then you're going to close your position. For example, you bought, I don't know, XYZ coin at $1. I would recommend having an exact plan. It goes to $2. I sell 50%. It goes to $3. I sell another 20%, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, you can use CoinStats' exit strategy feature for that. If you don't have that plan, it's very hard to sell your holdings when it pumps, I don't know, two times in a day, because it's very hard to put your feelings aside and not catch the thoughts that, hey, it might go another 2x tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes it does. Do you know why some groups call certain types of crypto investors degens? So degen comes from a word, obviously, degenerate, and only those kind of people would keep their holdings when they do 10x to wait for 50x. Meaning, we have seen a lot of coins which done 100x, and we have seen people who bought, I don't know, $100 and ended up selling their $100 holdings for hundreds of $1,000s. Only those types of people would keep their holdings so long, because in regular finances, if you've done 2x, 3x, that's a huge return on investment, you should probably close your position. Again, I'm not saying you should close at 2x, 3x. You might have a plan to close it 10x, but what I'm trying to say is it's important to figure out the exact plan at the time you buy, and more importantly, follow that plan, which obviously can change, but it's important also to write down those changes and follow the altered plan as well.
Yeah, I really love the fact that you said not be emotional or to leave feelings out of it, right? I think that's really important to note. Have there been any notable instances where individuals' faith in a shitcoin has resulted in significant gains or losses?
Yeah, great question. I mean, obviously there are a lot of examples where people lost money on certain shitcoins. You can take any cryptocurrency which was popular on a previous bull market, like 2017-18, and check the prices. Most of them are more than 10 times lower the price than they used to be, and most of the people bought in. In fact, a lot of them are zero. But there are also great examples where shitcoins have been resulted as a two significant gains. As I mentioned at the start of the conversation, meme coins are specifically Bitcoin, which I also can be considered a meme coin because it doesn't have a product or utility behind. Obviously, Bitcoin resulted in a significant gain. And obviously, there are a lot of meme coins which have resulted to significant gain. We can talk about Dogecoin, Tesla, whatever, and the examples I've made before, like which are more recent, like Book of Meme and Slack. Those meme coins can result to tens of hundreds of percent gains in a day. And that's what people, that's why people get into those shitcoin investments more and more, because they are attracted to those kind of gains. But obviously, anyone should understand, those are the success stories are the ones that people are talking about the most. A single success story or a single meme coin which did multiple tens of thousands percent gains has thousands of other meme coins which basically failed and went to zero. It's very hard and I would say unlikely to be able to find the next shitcoin which is going to pump a lot. But I would say if you have a plan, if you feel the market, if you feel the culture of, again, specifically I'm talking about meme coins, you could try to gamble and get your significant gains. But if you're not spending 8 hours a day on Twitter and Discord or Reddit or Telegram figuring out what's gonna pump, I would potentially recommend to stick with more established cryptocurrencies. And only two I can name is Bitcoin or Ethereum, which, as history showed, have a great utility. I mean, talking about Ethereum, or have a great trust in it, talking about Bitcoin, and highly likely would end up being a great investment. Yeah, obviously you wouldn't get 10x in a year, and likely you wouldn't even get 2x in a year. But compared to other financial tools, they seem to be a good investment, good long-term investment, and good long-term place to keep your money in. And obviously, even like 10% or 20% yearly growth on your dollar value would be appealing for most of the world. Most of the people worldwide are not able to access those financial investment instruments, which could result them to, I don't know, 20% growth yearly on their investment or net worth, etc. So Bitcoin or Ethereum seems to be a good play in those cases. And obviously you should look at the longer time range and dollar cost average and not buy at an all-time high and then try to exit in a year.
Amazing. Before we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to talk about is that still, if you are interested to make money or a significant amount of money in crypto or be successful overall, I would say building is much better option, which is more appealing to me myself and what I've seen around me, rather than investment or figuring out what coin price is going to be higher, etc. is extremely hard. In fact, it might be even harder than just building a project or anything in crypto space. There's dozens of opportunities nowadays. As many of our audience knows, there are hundreds of different chains which have their grant programs or investment programs. So I would recommend, independent on anyone's profession, if you are in engineering, marketing, etc., you can find your niche in crypto and build something people would potentially use, which would definitely result in much more gains rather than trying to play with the investment without significant research before.
Right. Thank you so much, Narek, for being part of today's discussion and sharing your expertise with us. It's been really insightful.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me again. It was great talking to you, Liana.
And to all our fantastic listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Don't forget to express your support by liking, subscribing, and sharing this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and until we meet again, stay well.